The question was asked, how do we understand the Ravid's harsh use of language when he argues with the Rambam? There are times when we have questions and the question is stronger than the answer. I'm going to try to offer three possible answers that I'm aware of, and I fear that at the end we're going to walk away with the feeling that the question is stronger than the answer. I still await the day when I have a better answer. I'm also not too pleased with the answers I'm going to say. One answer that's offered is that there was a very strong concern during the time directly following the Rambam, during the Rambam's lifetime, that people would follow the Rambam's guide to the perplexed and become misguided. So the Ravid used harsh terminology to try and balance people's view of the Rambam. That's one answer that's offered. The second answer is one that I have on tradition from Rav Pesin Zatzal. And in order to understand this one a little bit better, and this also will lead us to the third answer, we have to introduce things a little bit. We live in an age where people are accustomed to saying things and being very careless with the terminology that's used. In Chazal's time, it wasn't this way. The Chafetz Chaim used to be medayik, how the Me'iri referred to each Rav. The Me'iri uses a lot of words. So sometimes you feel like, oh, he's just praising the person. But no. If you learn the Me'iri carefully, you see that the Me'iri uses different terminology for different rabbis. When he praises a rabbi and he says, he is the great rabbi, the great wise sage, the luminary of the times, he is giving him halachic weight. When we use different terms, when the rabbis used different terms, those terms had halachic weight. And when the Gemara asks a question, and the Gemara says kasha or tyufta or parich or layit, these terminologies have different weights. How strong is the question? When Tosus begins a question and he says, kashali, I have a question, that's one type of question. When Tosus begins by saying, v'im tomar, and if you'll say, that's a different type of question. There are different terms in the Gemara, there are different terms in Rashi, in the Tosus, and in the Rishonim. And when the Ravid claims against the Rambam and uses very harsh terminology, so then Rav Pesin Zatzal used to tell me that the stronger the bite, the stronger the bark, the stronger he's going to claim, the more he's going to say, this makes no sense. How could the Rambam even think such a thing? The less he has to back himself up. That whenever the Ravid felt that the Rambam was wrong, but he didn't have sources to back himself up, so then the Ravid would come very strongly. He'd use harsh terminology, and that was like the cover up that he didn't have good sources. So he'd say, if I'd quote you Mishnah against the Rambam, so then you know I feel strongly against the Rambam. But if I don't have a Mishnah to quote you against the Rambam and I still feel strongly against the Rambam, so then I have to use harsh terminology, so you know I feel strongly against the Rambam. So that's what Rav Pesin Zatzal used to say, that the Ravid only used to, and I think he had this on tradition from Rav Chaim, that the Ravid, when the Ravid used harsh terminology, it was in areas specifically where he didn't have harsh claims. Where maybe his claim was harsh, but his proofs were weak. So that was to illustrate, I feel very strongly against this. I want to humbly offer my question on what Rav Pesin Zatzal used to say, and possibly another understanding. Rav Kapach, in his introduction to the Rambam, so Rav Kapach writes against the first explanation which we said. He basically disproves it because he says that the Ravid didn't speak Arabic and the Rambam wasn't translated into any language that the Ravid understood until a few years after the Ravid died. So he didn't know what was in the guide for the perplexed. So I'm not sure this is such a strong disproof because people were talking. He probably heard what the Rambam wrote. I mean, this was the talk of the time. If he heard from other rabbis who did speak Arabic, maybe he did hear. But he says another interesting point. He says, we find often that the Ravid, in his commentary on the Rif, will comment one way, and in his commentary on the Rambam will comment the other way, the exact opposite. So which way did the Ravid hold? In one place he writes one way. When the Rif goes right, he goes left. When the Rambam adopts the position that he himself purported on the Rif, so suddenly the Rif takes the other opinion. So the Ravid takes the other opinion. So Rav Katach Zatzal said that the Ravid wasn't expressing his own opinions in his commentary on the Rambam. The Rambam wrote his work as a work that seems to express just one way of thought. Almost throughout the Rambam keeps saying, Allah has this, Allah has that, Allah has the other way. He just goes his path. And sometimes the Ravid felt that there's an equal opinion that has equal validity in halacha that goes the other way. So the Ravid didn't necessarily hold that opinion was more correct than the Rambam's, but he held that opinion has to be given equal validity. So the Ravid would write on the Rambam, you should know there's another opinion that goes the other way. When the Rif takes that other route, but doesn't make mention of the Rambam's route, so he makes mention, wait a second, there's another route, the Rambam's route. It's not that the Ravid is necessarily adopting one of the two routes. That's what Rav Kapach said about the Ravid. Now, let's take Rav Kapach's approach and take it one step further. How do we understand, with Rav Kapach's approach, why would the Ravid back what he's saying with the words like, that doesn't make sense, that goes against the Mishnah, how does that work, the Rambam was sleeping when he wrote this. What? Why would the Ravid do that if his whole purpose was to tell us, well, there's another opinion? So we can answer like Rav Pesin Zatzal answered, that his goal was, if I can't back it with proofs, at least you should know it's still a valid opinion. I always thought that maybe, and I'm not really worthy of expressing an opinion against Rav Pesin, but something to think about. Maybe where the Ravid expresses himself forcefully is specifically the place where he does feel differently than the Rambam. Meaning maybe what Rav Kapach Zatzal said is the generic Ravid. Usually the Ravid is just there to tell us, you should know, don't read the Rambam blindly. There is another valid opinion in halacha. But when the Ravid comes on and says, the Rambam was totally off when he said this, so then maybe those are the examples of the places where the Ravid did express his opinion in his work. Maybe that's where he's revealing to us, no. Here it's not that I feel there are two legitimate opinions, but here I specifically feel that the other opinion is right. That's what I always thought. And depending on how strongly he felt the other opinion was right, that's how strongly he wrote against the Rambam. How could he talk about it? So, and now going to the language that he specifically used, perhaps, again, not sure this is right, but perhaps we can understand this if we go over to a different question. And when we answer that question, apply the answer to this question. If you open the Ramban or the Ibn Ezra, you open many of the Rishonim in their explanation of Tanakh, their Adak, you see that they quote Chazal, and then they say, yeah, but this isn't Pshat. And they give another Pshat. How do they do that? The Gemara just told you, this is what the Pasuk is saying. And they say, that's not Pshat. So, we have to remember that the world changed drastically when the Haskalah movement evolved. Up until the Haskalah movement, it was accepted by everyone that you don't mock the Torah, and you don't mock the rabbis, and you don't mock tradition. This is just the way that Judaism is. No one would come along and say, I'm a Jew, but I don't buy this. This just isn't this way. That's a new phenomenon. There were always the Karaim or the Kusim or the Baitusim who said, we don't accept the rabbis altogether. We're living the way we understand the Torah. But to have this phenomenon that you start learning the rabbis, and at the same time that you're learning them, you're saying, nah, don't understand it this way, don't understand it that way, and to start bringing everything down the way they did, that was a new phenomenon. When the Ramban wrote, and he said, the Gemara said this, but that's not pshat, the Ramban didn't entertain in his wildest dreams that there would come a day where people actually had the gall to speak that way and mean it. In his day, if he wrote that's not pshat, so everyone understood that there's pshat, remez, drush, sod. It's not that he's arguing on the Gemara. He's saying, the Gemara gave you a drush, the Gemara gave you a sod. I'm here to explain pshat. So the Ramban, writing to his generation and to the things he perceived, the Ramban just wrote, that's not pshat. He didn't mean to write that the Gemara was off. He didn't entertain that someone would even think that way. So he wrote, that's not pshat. Yeah, it's not pshat. Maybe it's remez, maybe it's drush, maybe it's sod. And we find often that the Rishonim will talk that way about the Gemara because they were working within a perspective that of course the Gemara is right. No one didn't say the Gemara is wrong. So then once you're working off that premise, so you could allow yourself to say a lot of things and people will understand it the way you expect them to understand it, or else they'll know they don't understand. But no one's going to walk in and say, oh, you see, even the Ramban said that the Gemara sometimes said things that were wrong. No, the Ramban didn't dream someone would speak that way.
So,
back to the Ravid. It could be that when the Ravid used these terminologies, the Ravid was working the same way. Just like when the Meiri uses exacting words when he says about a rabbi all kinds of words of praise, it could be that by the same token when the Ravid attacks the Rambam using these words, he didn't think that we'd mean that we'd understand it to mean, oh, the Rambam doesn't know what he's talking about. He understood, according to the level of his generation, that when you read that, you understand this is this level of argumentation against the Rambam. Here, I disagree with the Rambam, level number 3 disagreement. Here, I disagree, level number 7 disagreement. How far do I disagree with him? How much do I accept the validity of his opinion? So there's a code here. When Abaye says, Layit Abaye Aman Degani Aparkit, Abaye says, I curse anyone that sleeps on their back or on their stomach. Curse. Oh, that's what Abaye means, he's cursing. There's a new Arur in the Torah. The Torah says, Arur Shochev Beima, Arur Shochev Alagav. New Arur, that's what Abaye meant. Or was this a way of Abaye expressing how much he felt it was wrong? So there's codes. When we read the Gemara, there's codes. There's a code to what weight a question has. There's a code to what weight an answer has. And there's a code to how much I disagree with you. And it could be that the Ravid was using a code like this. That's an answer that makes sense to me. I haven't seen anyone write it or say it. But that's what makes sense to me. So maybe. So even though to us it seems strange, but just like to us it seems strange when we read the Ramban, and the Ramban says things that seem like he's going against the Gemara. He's not. But he wasn't writing to a generation that had as much heretical opinions as ours. He wasn't writing to a generation, he wasn't writing with the thought of a generation that could think you'd speak that way about a Gemara or about a rabbi. So by the same token, the Ravid probably also didn't think that someone would take what he's saying literally about the Ramban. That's what I think.